Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final second. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
And a very good evening. Welcome in to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is Friday night. That means we can start early. And I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We have got an amazing show coming your way over the next 2 hours. That's right. NFL news and notes. Training camp is underway. We're going to talk some MLB, some of the moves that did not take place for the Astros. And you know who's going to help us out to start off the show tonight? That is our executive producer at SB Nation Radio, the great Ronnie Culver. I was on vacation last week. Missed you, my friend.
I was on vacation, too.
How?
I took some time. I knew you were going to be off, so I took time off as well.
Well, why not? Where did you go? Cali?
No, San Antonio.
Oh, that's sweet. All right. Little Alamo, little Riverwalk.
Little Riverwalk, SeaWorld for the kids.
Only 110 degrees.
Only 110 degrees, so we spent a lot of time at the water park there.
Okay, so talk to me. You're my big baseball guy. Why did the Astros not be more aggressive in terms of the trade deadline?
I'm scratching my head at this as well. Okay. Everyone in the nation knows that the Astros, their weak link right now is pitching. You know, they have a great starter in Dallas Keuchel when he is healthy. They had a good comparable starter in McCullers. McHugh has shown up a little bit here. But other than that, they don't have anybody. And you can't rely on McCullers and McHugh to be that second tier, that second starter that you need to get you through the postseason. It's been proven now, time and time again, that you need to have at least two quality starters when you get to the postseason. And they just don't have it. Other than that, if you don't have two quality starters, then you got to make sure you have a great bullpen, great middle relief pitching. And they just don't simply have that either.
Okay, well, a quality guy, of course, is Dallas Keuchel. And he certainly expressed his displeasure with the moves that were not made. What was your reaction when you heard that?
On one hand, I'm glad he spoke up and said something. On another hand, it's one of those things like, okay, you know, you're a member of the club. This might be something that you should keep behind closed doors. Maybe not express.
Publicly air that out.
Yeah, publicly air it out. You don't really want to get all that dirty laundry out there because at the end of the day, it might actually backfire on you because now you're making the club look bad.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, especially the month of September is just around the corner, and they don't want to let down in this final stretch. That, of course, with the voice of Ronnie Culver. What a great way to kick off our show tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And Brian McTaggart, Astros beat writer, is going to be joining us a little bit later in the hour, and he's going to give you the latest on MLB news and notes. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back to hour number one at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And the countdown to kickoff, it is underway. We are actually in hour number one. We're ready to talk some college football, the Big 12 Conference. Let's head to Norman, Oklahoma, and visit with the senior writer of OU Insider. And that is James Hale. They got a new coach at Oklahoma in Lincoln Riley. Tell us, how are things coming together for the Crimson and Cream?
Well, OU is certainly one of the big stories of college football, right, E? I mean, you know, that was pretty amazing. Bob Stoops will go down in history as one of the best ever. You know, he looked like he was in great health. He had his hip redone a couple of years ago. Everything looked great. He was doing everything that he's always done in the off season. Even went to the Sooner Caravan in Tulsa. So everything looked great, and so we all thought everything was good. And then out of nowhere, this just shocked a lot of people. And we kind of got wind of it 2 or 3 weeks ago that he got a medical exam that was good, but wasn't great. You know, it was one of those that, hey, you know, everything's good except the, you know, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, but he says that medically or any health is not any reason why he stepped down. And I believe him because they told him he could continue to coach, and I believe him there. But I just think something happened after that caravan event in Tulsa that he said to himself, you know, is this fun anymore, or is this exactly what I want to do anymore? He's got plenty of money. Heck, his wife Carol's made plenty of money. So they're well set up. Their sons are seniors at Norman North, Isaac and Drake. And they're both really good football players on a pretty good football team in the state of Oklahoma. Their daughter's at OU. You know, so I think that, you know, when he had started having conversations with Joe Castiglione and when he actually started talking to his brother Mike about it, of course, those two individuals tried to talk him out of it. They know that, you know, he had several years that he would, they felt that he would still coach at a high level, and they wanted him to hang in there. But I think when he talked to Carol, and Carol was okay with him stepping aside, and you know, the boys were thought it might be pretty cool if Dad was around a little bit, you know, more than he has been for their senior year. And
yeah.
I just think that when he talked to Lincoln Riley and started getting good vibes back there, and when Lincoln told him, we'll keep the staff together, and, you know, when Bob knew there was no that there he had no that Lincoln didn't want to in any way, shape, or form change any of the staff, which includes his brother Mike, then I think Bob just said, you know what, I'm ready to hang out with my pretty wife. I'm ready to travel, probably like your husband does with you, and you know, and I think this is kind of the way it went. So Lincoln Riley steps in, and it's been seamless. I mean, the same staff is in place. He's hired his longtime mentor and friend Ruffin McNeil to work on the defensive side. He'll be able to hire an offensive guy when they add the additional coach in January. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's not his brother. You know, so everything's been seamless. It's been great so far. Lincoln has hit a home run every speaking event he's been to. And it hasn't been all perfect because he's had to dismiss his quarterback, a freshman quarterback. He's lost a junior offensive lineman to a knee injury. His starting free safety was suspended indefinitely because of a legal issue that he ran into, and tell you the truth, it would be surprising if he's back. So it hasn't been perfect on the field or with the team, but the way he's handled it has been seamless. So, yeah, that's one of the big stories in college football. It's you can't throw it under the rug or kind of sweep it under the rug. It's huge, and how that's the one thing. This is a really good team, but how they start the season with a new coach and. Does he coach a little bit differently? Does he take a few more chances?
Mm-hmm.
Does he go for the home run? You know, and things like that. You know, we don't know, so we'll find out.
Okay, the senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. The countdown is on to the start of the college football season. And, you know, for Oklahoma, for the Sooners, this is the first preseason training camp in 18 years that Bob Stoops has not been the head coach. So, tell me this, James, how different is the feel and the vibe? I mean, I know you said the coaching staff, everybody has remained intact and in place, but does it feel like something is missing?
It only does if you really just want to create it, because the practice is exactly the same. Lincoln helped put this kind of practice together where they're basically running two teams at the same time, so everybody's running the same plays at the same speed. The reps you get, the amount of reps, depends on how efficient you are. And, of course, usually the first and second unit's a little more efficient than the third and the fourth. But in theory, everybody's getting a ton of reps, and this increases the reps. So if you look at it, doesn't look any different. Now, Baker Mayfield joked that the first practice, when he heard that last whistle and he heard the voice of Lincoln Riley saying, all right, guys, call it up, let's come back. Nope, everybody kept practicing because that wasn't Bob Stoops. And they threw another couple of routes, and he stopped and said, wait a second. He's the head coach, guys. Lincoln had a big laugh. He was laughing when everybody got around him because Lincoln even said, yeah, that was strange. It was strange that I was saying, hey, guys, come on up.
Yeah.
Because that's supposed to be Bob Stoops. So that's really been the only difference because the practices are the same. And Lincoln's running the offense, remember. So the offensive game plan for the practice is developed by Lincoln. And Mike Stoops is back as the defensive coordinator, so that game plan is put together by Mike and what they're going to do. And, of course, they work together to work on some things against each other. And nothing's changed. It really hasn't. It all looks seamless. But you know that opening game against UTEP, Lincoln's going to do some things differently. It's just the way it is. He and Bob are not the same person, even though they're similar in that they're great guys. They're nice people. They treat people right. The coaches like working for both those guys, you know, but they're different people. And remember early in Bob's career, he was called Riverboat Bob for a reason, right?
Yeah.
he was doing all those fake punts and kicks and extra points and all that stuff. You know, who knows? And Lincoln develops all the trick plays now, and he's run a few trick plays even the last in his 2 years that he's been at OU.
So what's going to determine the kind of season that Oklahoma will have?
Well, at OU, it's national championship or bust, right? People get upset when they just win the Big 12 or win a bowl game, and I think that's unrealistic. People shouldn't, but that's the way it is. And I'm glad that everybody has these kind of expectations, or it wouldn't be any fun covering OU. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what it's like to cover a bad baseball team, you know, a team that never strives to win like the Oakland Athletics or somebody like that. I mean, that would be frustrating after a while, right? We're trading off our best guys. Well, at OU, even when they graduate, a lot of players, everybody assumes they've gone out and recruited players as good or better than those guys. So it would just continue. And you know what? For the most part, it does at OU. You know, but this team has a Heisman quarterback and has the offensive line for the ages. I mean, an offensive line that could have four or five guys go to the NFL, that arguably is the number one line in the country. It returns eight starters on defense. Your two best DBs come back in Stephen Parker and Jordan Thomas. Caleb Kelly's emerging as a star. Obo's one of the best pass rushers in the country. Romar is one of the best inside linemen. So's Gallimore. You know, you've got things set up pretty good. Again, the whole card, the wild card, is Lincoln Riley and how he coaches in a game. And can he manage coaching as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach? And, of course, you have that second game of the year, September 9th at Ohio State. The Sooners flopped at home against the Buckeyes last year. We'll see how they do this year.
How unique of a situation is this for Lincoln Riley? He's only 33 years of age, and he's already got the keys to one of the top college programs in the country. I mean, this is really, really special.
Well, it is, and he admits sometimes he has to take a double thought or think about it and go, oh, yeah, I'm the head guy. He said he was at practice the other day, and he looked, and the time was out, and he didn't blow the whistle. This was yesterday, or you know, and he said, I just practice kept going, and I kept waiting for Bob Stoops to call everybody up.
Wow.
And, you know, so he had to, then he had to realize, oh, yeah, it's me. So he stopped and he had to laugh. You know, so that's happened a couple of times early at camp. It is a little bit different, even though Bob was there yesterday just as a fan and just watching and hanging out with Lincoln a little bit and shook hands with the players and things. And so he was out there a little bit. But it is surreal. He's 33 years old. I've got a son that's 33. You know, I mean, it's surreal to cover him at my age, and he's 33. And, you know, I was around when Barry Switzer took over the program. You know, I was, you know, the Bob Stoops, you know, when you look at Bob's pictures in 99, they're different than 2016, you know.
Yeah.
He's still a handsome man. All the women
yes.
in my family love him, you
Aww.
Know. I think he's a really handsome guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, but my point is it just looks a lot different. So, it's pretty surreal, and I think that he has thought about being a head coach so much. I think he's one guy that probably wrote down things he would do as a head coach. He's already shown a strong disciplinary arm to being a head coach that even though he's young, I think he's totally ready for it. And from what I hear, everything is running so smooth that if you didn't know that there was a coaching change – and you just didn't know it, you wouldn't think that there was because things are going so well.
Okay, the senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale. What a great way to kick off our show on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Real quick, James, reach out to our audience. Where can they check you out online?
OUinsider.com, and I'm JHale24 on Twitter. And you can always check me out, Sports Talk 1400, The Ref in Norman.
Stick around. Much more coming your way. NFL News and Notes, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. And as promised, in our next segment right here at the next generation of sports radio at SB Nation Radio, it is time for some Astros talk. And we are thrilled to have back with us the Houston Astros beat writer, and that is Brian McTaggart. He's going to give us a breakdown on the Astros' second-best record in baseball, and they have the largest division lead, but they did not make big moves at the trade deadline. We've got a lot of questions to get into with Brian. Good evening, Brian.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. Okay, so the trade deadline has come and gone. Why were the Astros not more aggressive with getting some reinforcement with their pitching staff? They did not make substantial upgrades.
Yeah, I think they were aggressive. I mean, I think they were. They really tried to get some of the names, big names on the market, the Zach Brittons and Justin Wilsons and Sonny Grays. But for whatever reason, they just could not get the deals to the finish line. Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, said that he was to the point on a couple of these deals where they thought they were 90% done. And in one of the deals, the ownership nixed the idea on the other side. So I'm not sure what deal that was. But, you know, Luhnow said that they exhausted every effort they could. Now, on the flip side of that, you know, other teams were able to get deals done. And the Dodgers, you know, added Darvish after adding a couple other players earlier in July. The Yankees got better. The Red Sox added players. So, you know, the Astros did add Liriano, but, you know, that's certainly not a move that's going to move the needle for a lot of Astros fans. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is still a team that has a huge lead in the mm-hmm. American League and should be the American League favorites.
Yes, the Yankees, the Dodgers, they certainly made headlines with some of the moves that took place. But when we specifically look at the Astros, in your mind, I mean, Brian, did they blow an opportunity? And perhaps what is next for the Astros?
Well, there's no doubt they could have used another arm or two. And I think as the deadline approached, I think relief pitching was the area where they could have used some help the most. They could have used Zach Britton certainly at the back end of that bullpen, like any contention team could. Another starter would have been nice, but if they could have added one or two relievers, I think that would have set them up really nicely. What's next? I think they're going to have to get healthy. They're going to have to get Will Harris, their relief pitcher, healthy, get McCullers back and get him healthy and pitching like he did before, get Correa and Springer back. And I think a healthy Astros team is still the team to beat in the American League. You know, they're going to face some very tough matchups in the playoffs. Nothing's going to be given. I mean, if you face the Yankees in a series at this point, it's going to be really tough. The Indians, of course, tough matchup for them all year. The Red Sox, with their pitching, is going to be a very tough matchup. But a healthy Astros team, I think, is right there and can win the American League. But they're going to have to focus now on getting healthy. And who knows, maybe they acquire a reliever at the end of August. You know, you can still make trades. It's just a lot harder to do that. But, you know, for what it's worth, they're going to have to go to battle with what they have right now.
Brian McTaggart, Astros beat writer, back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It's been a big month. In July, Jose Altuve named the AL Player of the Month. We're going to get into that here momentarily. How surprised were you, Brian, that the ace pitcher in Dallas, Keuchel, he certainly didn't hold back. He expressed his disappointment that the Astros, that they could not get more done. He wanted that reinforcement.
Well, I'm not surprised, and I think he was speaking for a lot of his teammates. And when they look around and saw the Dodgers getting better and the Cubs getting better, they were like, well, why couldn't we do anything? And, you know, I think it was coming from a good place for Dallas. He certainly believes in the team they have and thinks they can win. But, you know, when you can add more pieces, I mean, that only helps you. And these guys want to win. I mean, this has the chance to be a very special season for them. So I don't think he was alone in the clubhouse thinking that way. Dallas is just a little bit more outspoken than some of the other players on the team, and I'm sure some of his teammates appreciated it. So I think a lot of the fans appreciated it too, because I think they were disappointed. But hey, even Jeff Luhnow admitted he was disappointed mm-hmm. that they weren't able to get a deal done. I mean, he was pretty adamant that they tried really hard, just weren't able to get it over the finish line.
Well, you're around this team day in and day out. Did you get a sense? I mean, we were talking about how Dallas Keuchel expressed his displeasure. But, you know, when you do spend time in the clubhouse with these guys and in the locker room, I mean, do you get a sense that they're pretty disappointed as well, that they don't have more depth within this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a couple other players give the political answers. You know, we believe in the guys we have, and you know, I think we can win. And Dallas said those things as well. But not very, you know, it's going to take a veteran player, someone who's been here a while, to come out and say the kind of things Dallas did. So, you know, I certainly think a good portion of that clubhouse probably agrees with him that they wish they could have got more done. But, you know, you got to move on. This is what they have right now. And they've kind of spun their wheels here a little bit for the last couple of months. But, I do think once they get healthy and maybe at the middle of the month, heading into the start of September, when they get Correa back, that, you know, we'll see them catch their stride a little bit as they finish the season.
Okay, so you have talked about that repeatedly as far as getting these guys healthy. What is the timeline to get so many of these guys back so they are loaded to make a deep run and be ready?
Well, Lance McCullers went back on the DL with the back problem. It sounds like they're going to be patient with him, so I don't anticipate seeing him for maybe a couple of weeks. Will Harris went back on the DL just like McCullers did with the same issue he went on the DL before. In this case, it was shoulder discomfort, and that's a little troubling. He was on the DL, came back, and didn't pitch. So now, you know, he's looking at, you know, months without pitching. Looks like George Springer is close, a quad injury. We could see him maybe early next week. And, of course, Correa had the thumb surgery. He's still a few weeks away, at least a month away. So it's going to come in waves. I think they've battled injuries all year, so they've been through this before. But if they can hit September and have everybody healthy, I think that would be the key right now. There's no reason to rush them back in August or late August. They got to really try to get them healthy and hitting their stride by early September.
Okay, you're listening to the familiar voice, Brian McTaggart, the Astros beat writer, who's back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Last time you were on the show, we were talking about a lot of optimism for Astro fans because Dallas Keuchel was going to be returning. How has he been since his return? Is he 100%, Brian? Is he completely healthy? How does he feel?
Yeah, I think he's healthy. You know, he missed 8 weeks. People have to remember that. He was on the DL a little bit before that. So he's not pitched much in the last 3 months. So he comes back and goes three innings last weekend and then goes five innings on Wednesday, not as efficient as he would like to be. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of him getting a couple of starts under his belt, getting his mechanics back in track, and, you know, we'll see. But, you know, he was out a long time. You can't just not pitch for 8 months and come out and pick up where you left off the first half of the year. So, again, he's going to have to work through that in August and try to be at the top of his game in September.
Okay, one of the bright spots, obviously, has been Jose Altuve being named the AL Player of the Month. We got to give some love to Jose. Just talk about just the sensational season that he had, and he was red hot in the month of July.
Oh, he was terrific. He hit .485 in the month of July.
And historic.
Yeah. Actually, going into the final game in July, he had a chance to hit .500, which hadn't been done in decades and decades. He didn't get there. .485, nothing wrong with that. I mean, he pitched really, really hit really, really well. He only had two hitless games in the month of July, and then he comes out in August. His first two games in August are hitless games. So I certainly think he'll pick it up in August and win a batting title. I mean, he's hitting around .370 at this point, so certainly looks like he's headed towards his third batting title, which is absolutely incredible.
He's so explosive. As I had mentioned, you spend a lot of time around all the guys, the players. What is it like to spend time with Jose Altuve? Tell us a little bit about his disposition and his personality.
Yeah, he's a very happy guy to be around. He's very approachable. He's also very driven. He wants to win very badly. I mean, he was here through the 300 lost seasons. He saw this team stripped down. He was here for the dark times, through it all, suffered through every one of those losses. So he wants to win, very driven, very motivated, just one of my favorite people in that clubhouse. He's a guy you can really root for. I mean, the guy you see on the field, the competitor, who smiles a lot, that's the same guy he is in the clubhouse. Just one of the best guys that I've ever dealt with, and certainly probably one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen.
Okay, we're zeroing in on the Houston Astros. Gosh, it is hard to believe we are already in the month of August. So what is going to be the key? I feel like I ask you this every time you're on the program, Brian, but what's the key for them to prevent a letdown in this final stretch of the season?
Well, number one, they have to get healthy. I think we talked about that.
Right.
Get everybody back healthy. And they have to get the bullpen ironed out a little bit. You know, they brought in Liriano, the left-handed relief specialist. They got to get Harris healthy and clicking on all cylinders. Davinsky's got to be Davinsky, and Giles, you know, he's got to pitch well. But I think if they do that and then get Keuchel and McCullers not only healthy but pitching like they did when they were at the top of their game, then, mm-hmm. you know, they'll be set up. I mean, that's a lot of things to try to work through here, but I think it all surrounds health. And the sooner they get the guys back healthier, the better.
Well, regardless, it's been a sensational season for the Astros. My final question for you is, Astros legends Jeff Bagwell inducted into the Hall of Fame, a guy that sure brought a lot of joy right here in H-Town to our city. Just talk about his Hall of Fame speech and what impressed you the most.
Yeah, went up there for Cooperstown for his speech, and it was It was absolutely amazing. He did a great job with the speech. A lot of Astros fans were there, filling the streets of Cooperstown, just like Craig Biggio did a couple of years before. Bagwell sort of winged his speech a little bit, but it was typical Bagwell. It was honest. It was humble. It was from the heart, and certainly well-deserved to see his plaque in Cooperstown.
Hey, great stuff. Brian McTaggart's been back with us, Astros beat writer. Check him out online. Good to have you with us on this Friday night. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Safe travels. Hey, much more coming your way right here at the next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio, and the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you are with us on this Friday night. And as promised, before we went to commercial break, it is time to get you ready for the start of the 2017 NFL season. Of course, teams are in training camp, and tonight we're actually going to shine the spotlight on the New York Jets and also the Giants. You talk about the Jets, I am a bit cautiously optimistic after their disappointing 5-11 season last year, but big time changes have taken place in the offseason. They are starting fresh, they're much younger, and they're looking for a quick rebuild. We are thrilled to have back with us. That, of course, is Christian Dyer. He covers the Giants, the Jets. He does it all. He also is with the Sporting News and the Metro New York newspaper. It's been way too long, my friend. Good evening, Christian.
Alyssa, I hate to start the conversation this way, but how can you possibly be optimistic about the Jets this year?
Well, let's see. Todd Bowles, perhaps he can get them trending in the right direction. And they did have massive change that took place in the offseason. They've got some young, fresh talent. Come on, give the Jets, the fans, a sense of hope that they're going to make some progress in 2017. Talk to me, Christian.
Listen, 2017 is all about 2018 for the Jets.
This
is the Jets
okay.
team. When you look at the talent that they've lost over the past, I'm going to go back 2 years, but most of this is from this past year. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who is their constant left tackle, you know, perennial Pro Bowl, all-pro selection, retired last year. Nick Mangold released. David Harris released. Ryan Fitzpatrick, say what you will about him last year, but certainly 2 years ago was a major reason why they were 10-6 and on the cusp of playoff football in 2017. Brandon Marshall, 1,000-yard receiver 2 years ago. Bruno Giacomini, who was one of their big-time free agent signings a couple years ago. Ryan Clady, another big-time piece that they were counting on last year. What they've lost on both sides of the ball, but in particular along that offensive line and at the offensive skill position, this is going to be a painful season, I think, for the New York Jets. Perhaps not as bad as some people are saying, where they're going to struggle to get one or two wins, but it's going to be a necessary year of rebuilding. I don't think it's a tank job. When you look at what they're doing, how they've drafted, it's very much all about retooling, getting better, and necessarily having to get younger. This was a veteran-laden team that had really maxed out a lot of the big position players, such as the Darrelle Revis and some of the other ones, were drafted by Mike Tannenbaum, who was three general managers ago, and helped lead the Jets on that 2009-2010 seasons when each year they were a game away from the Super Bowl. They had to get younger. They had to get faster, in particular on defense. And I think they've done that, Alyssa.
Hey, Christian Dyer is back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, Sporting News, and the Metro New York newspaper. He has got you covered. I'm a bit worried, Christian, about the Jets fan base. I mean, how willing are they to be patient? And can they tolerate another massive rebuilding project? You're talking about, forget 2017, you're already thinking about 2018. What's going to happen with those fans? Can they wait?
Well, I first covered the Jets in 2008, so I've been worried about the Jets fan base for a long time. It seems like every year, you know, this is a passionate fan base and, you know, a group that hasn't had anything to celebrate really since Super Bowl III with Joe Namath. With all that being said, the joke around these parts usually pops up somewhere around October is Jets really stands for just enjoy tailgating season. And I think when you look, though, at what this team's trying to do. It's going to be painful this year. They've lost an awful lot. They don't have a lot in the quote-unquote skill position areas, wide receiver, a lot of question marks. Quarterback Josh McCown is certainly a journeyman and is not their long-term solution. I don't think their starting quarterback for 2018 is on the roster right now, but these are all necessary moves that they've had to make. But I think that the drafts that they've had the past couple of years, in particular with Mike Maccagnan, now in his third year as general manager with the Jets, all defensive picks. 3 years ago, Leonard Williams, who I think is on the cusp of becoming an all-pro, Pro Bowl type of defensive lineman for the Jets. Last year, Daron Lee, a speedy linebacker from Ohio State, spent the offseason putting on some much-needed size. He's going to come back and, in all likelihood, take a step forward. And then Jamal Adams, the top safety on everyone's draft board, a player who many thought was going to be a top two, top three selection, falling to the Jets at number six. The Jets now are starting to really make their identity all about the defensive end of things. They're younger, they're faster. Jets fans may need to enjoy tailgating this year, but I think 2018 with about $90 million in cap space may just accelerate that rebuild just a little bit.
Okay, you bring up the quarterback, Josh McCown. Of course, at the age of 38, he is on the decline. I have to wonder, you said that they are more defensive-minded as far as this franchise, this organization. I am curious, though, why the Jets didn't draft a quarterback. They've been much more methodical in terms of their search for their next franchise quarterback. Is it just because of the past and they've been burned and they just want to be that much more careful?
Yeah, this is a franchise that certainly has not had a whole lot of success drafting quarterbacks. Geno Smith, now off the team 4 years ago, was their second-round pick. He was supposed to be the future face of the franchise. Mark Sanchez in 2009 had that strong start with back-to-back playoff appearances. He's petered out, and now he's probably a second, if not third-choice quarterback in the NFL with the Chicago Bears. All that being said, this was not the draft to use a top pick on a quarterback. Everyone seems to have the consensus that 2018 will be two, if not three, quarterbacks taken in the first 4 to 5 selections. The Jets may well be in a position to take one of those quarterbacks and be able to build the franchise. But let's also keep in mind here that there's going to be some quarterbacks hitting the free agents market sooner rather than later. Next year, Kirk Cousins, depending on what goes on with his contract in Washington, he may become available. And the Jets, again, with $85, $90 million in cap space in all likelihood, could be positioned to make a run at Kirk Cousins, bring on board a quarterback very much in his prime, and then be able to add the pieces via free agency to complement some of the depth that they're accruing, in particular on the aforementioned defensive side of the ball.
Okay, Christian Dyer, reporter with the Sporting News and Metro New York newspaper. He's got you covered right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're so glad Christian is back with us on this Friday night. We would love to connect with you. Hey, join us on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always, we love show ideas and guest ideas. You can always email the show at info@eradiosports.com and our amazing podcast center, that is podcastarena.com. You can listen to all of our hosts and, of course, go back and listen to each and every one of our guests tonight right here at the Next Generation of Sports Radio. That's SB Nation Radio. So, Christian, talk to me about, as far as the depth in the quarterback position, who perhaps could be that future star.
Well, I'm not sure that that's going to be on the Jets roster right now. Christian Hackenberg was a second-round pick that they took last year.
Right.
Guy from Penn State. You know, people are familiar with him, and in particular, how his college career didn't exactly have an upward trajectory. Now, some of that I'm going to blame on the fact that he went through multiple offensive coordinators, the offensive scheme at Penn State, and certainly later those sanctions, and just coming off the sanctions may not have been the best fit for his skill set. He also had a very bad offensive line he was behind for his past couple of years there, and a head coach in James Franklin, who I think really took a step forward in his development, in particular game day management with the Nittany Lions last year. But perhaps some of his bumps and bruises along the way affected Hackenberg's development. He's looked better in training camp. Is he ready to take over McCown, who's an NFL veteran? Certainly more established. Probably not. They also have on board Bryce Petty, a name that's going to be familiar
with
Big 12 fans.
Sure.
You know, certainly he is making positive steps as a quarterback, but not quite certain if he's ready to take that next step or if he's ever going to develop into a starting quarterback. What's impressed me is his mobility, his ability to throw on the move with the ball, but some of his pocket decisions, his ability to read defenses, not sure where he's at in terms of that development. So, again, I don't think the starting quarterback for the Jets roster in 2018 is currently on their roster right now, but this isn't a bad quarterback stable. Can they manage games? Yes. Do they have the ground game? Do they have the offensive line protection to do so? Those are the question marks right now as the Jets continue their rebuild.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the movement with the players, the additions, the subtractions, this fresh young talent that has infused and perhaps will energize the Jets. But what about first-time offensive coordinator in John Morton? He's expected to, employ the West Coast offense. What does this ultimately mean, Christian?
Well, hopefully it means that with an offensive line that has an awful lot of question marks. I'm trying to be kind to this offensive line because I think there's some talent there, but I'm not sure it's a unit that's going to gel in time for week one or necessarily has all the pieces it needs to be a competitive group. But being able to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand quickly, first read, moving methodically down the field, and an awful lot of play action. Those are the kind of things in the NFL. And Alyssa, I liken it to the idea of running a spread offense in college. If you don't have a great elite quarterback, a spread offense can mask an awful lot of problems because you're giving your quarterback multiple targets, short reads, hot reads, very easy to be able to get good matchups. And in the NFL, a spread offense, the equivalent, I think, is a West Coast offense where you're trying to move with tempo, with pace, quick outlets, and then open up things down the field. And maybe some of this will mask the Jets' deficiencies with playmakers and along the offensive line. But the Jets have tried the West Coast offense before with Geno Smith, with Mark Sanchez. Hasn't exactly worked.
Yeah. Hey, we're zeroing in on the AFC East, the New York Jets, and going one-on-one with Christian Dyer, reporter with Sporting News and Metro New York newspaper. Let's talk about the head coach, Anton Bowles. How is he going to keep the team focused during this rebuild? Because I have to wonder just all the different challenges and obstacles he will face as the head coach to keep this locker room together and everybody on the same page when you are trying to muscle through adversity. That's not easy. And you look at their record even last year. They only won two games at home last year. That's very tough to swallow.
Very tough, and when you consider that the AFC East is going through a little bit of a reboot right now, the New England Patriots, you know, just year in, year out, we know the story with them. That they're a team that just gets better week in, week out as the regular season goes on. I think people basically are chalking up another division title to the Patriots this year. The Miami Dolphins, I know there's going to be some issues now with the quarterback situation, depending on how things play out with Ryan Tannehill, but they're a team that's gotten better. They've got some real talent at the skill position as well. So I'm not sure if the AFC East is something that the Jets are going to be able to go to after until Tom Brady retires, but players are going to be playing for jobs. They're going to be playing for starting roles and for development next year. And if that's not enough motivation for Todd Bowles to be able to get this locker room going week in, week out, I don't know what is. It's not a tank job. I think a lot of people kind of get that sense that the Jets are tanking. I think they're necessarily getting younger and willing to take their lumps this year.
Okay, job security is at the forefront of not only players' minds, but what about even as the head coach, Todd Bowles? You know, he returns here in 2017, but what about 2018? I mean, what needs to take place and kind of progress needs to take place over this next, you know, few months in order for him to be back and not on the hot seat?
Yeah, and I think he's really benefiting from a lot of the talk right now. People are saying this is the worst roster in the NFL. The Jets have among the youngest rosters in the NFL. And the fact that Todd Bowles is the head coach and first year here was able to get 10 wins. Last year, I think, was a disappointing, but perhaps management realized that they didn't give him enough young weapons. They were counting too much on veterans who had career years in 2015. To duplicate that again, and it just didn't happen. Todd Bowles has shown he can have some success here with the Jets, but certainly when you look at the fact that all the discussion here is about how awful the roster is, how the Jets are going to be out of playoff contention by the time Columbus Day rolls around, this can only benefit Todd Bowles. And if he's able to duplicate last year's win total, or I'm going to say this, even four games where the Jets are more competitive. Last year they had major blowout losses to the Bills, to the Patriots, to the Dolphins, all in the division. They look really bad in some of their games. If they can adjust and alleviate some of those concerns, be more competitive, hang in some games while developing younger talent, I think that's going to be enough for Bowles to be able to keep his job moving forward.
Our NFL preseason news and notes continues with Christian Dyer of the Sporting News and Metro New York newspaper after this timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We're going to continue our conversation with Christian Dyer, reporter with the Sporting News and Metro New York newspaper, a regular guest right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, doing an outstanding job. You know, just a moment ago, Christian, you had mentioned the former quarterback for the Jets in Geno Smith, and he is embracing his backup role with the Giants. Can he resuscitate his NFL career back to life and keep his hands to himself?
Well, you know what? We talked a lot about a bad Jets offensive line. The Giants offensive line wasn't much better last year. I think they're going to be better this year. But I think you're looking at Geno Smith. There's a calculated decision here on his part. He's going to be sitting behind a veteran in Eli Manning, two-time Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl MVP, Pro Bowl selection, consistently puts up 4,000-yard seasons. Chances are Geno Smith is not going to be going to be able to wrestle away the starting job from Eli Manning. But when you look at the fact that Manning took some awfully big hits last year, was throwing from his back, if he's not more vertical than horizontal this year, there's a good chance that Manning could be knocked out of a game, and no one wants to see that, but be knocked out of a game, certainly suffer some injuries and be banged up a little bit. Geno Smith could be the guy who takes over a very talented Giants offense. There's Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall. There's concerns certainly about Sterling Shepard, the wide receiver who had a high ankle sprain this week in training back his timetable. But they have a first-round pick in Evan Ingram, who set all sorts of records for tight ends down in the SEC while with Ole Miss, holds a number of program records as well. So this is a talented Giants team with a great defense. I think this is actually a pretty good calculation on Geno Smith's part to be able to join the team that was in the playoffs last year. It's a veteran group. If all he does is sit there for a year and get better and get mop-up duty, so be it. But I think there's going to be a chance sooner rather than later with Eli Manning as he gets older that Geno Smith could perhaps take over, get significant snaps.
Hey, it is countdown to kickoff to the start of the 2017 NFL season. What a great way to get all of you ready as we get ready for the weekend. That's right, Christian Dyer, reporter with the Sporting News and Metro New York newspaper. Hey, give a shout out, connect with our fans. Where can they check you out, Christian?
Well, they can check me out on Twitter at Christian R. Dyer. That's KristianRDyer.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at